Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, shit. The U.S. economy just posted its worst quarterly economic output on record. So how's your week going? Welcome to the Chad and Cheese Podcast, everybody. I'm your co-host, Joel GDP Cheeseman.
And I'm Chad Lafayette Soash.
And on this week's show, Modern Hire does its best Pac-Man impression, LinkedIn tells Google to hold its beer, and the Brits have a special take on what it means to mask up. Cheerio, hip hip, and we'll be right back after we pay a few bills.
Sovereign Parser is the most accurate resume and job order intake technology in the industry. The more accurate your data, the better decisions you can make. Find out more about our suite of products today by visiting sovereign.com. That's S-O-V-R-E-N.com. We provide technology that thinks, communicates, and collaborates like a human. Sovereign. Software so human, you'll want to take it to dinner.
Basketball's back, baby.
Yeah, but for how long?
If it's anything like baseball, 4 days.
Yeah. What we'll do as humans, just to think we're back in normal. And that being said, we had 1.43, I don't know where the three came from, million file for unemployment. And then the GDP shrinks 32.9%. Now, if we're not feeling it, say it's if you're not feeling it now, get out of your ivory tower, open the curtains, and check it out, because people are having issues right now, and fucking unemployment is going to be running out.
Thankfully, yesterday was National Chicken Wing Day, and today is National Corn Dog Chili Day or Chili Dog Day. So I'm drowning my sorrow in bad food and calories.
You do whatever you can to keep away from the news cycle. That's all I got to say.
I'm in my bubble, man. Bubble it.
Stay in your white man bubble.
My suburb bubble.
Okay, shout outs. That's right. Newest addition to the Brain Food Tribune. That's right, kids. Stephen O'Donnell and James Ellis.
They have to say it with a Scottish accent.
I can't. Yeah, I
doubt. Stephen O'Donnell.
I'll fuck that all up. They have been entered into the Recruiting Brain Food Tribune section. So go to recruitingbrainfood.com. You can see the Tribune. Click on it. Some great stories. They have about 10 people in there now.
Yeah, explain what this is, because you've done it. So I assume you know the reason of it and what's going on. So yeah. For those who don't know, Recruiting Brain Food Tribune.
Yeah. So Hung Lee is a genius. Go figure. He wants to be able to really dig into the people that are in the industry, so that again, as a community, we know some things about others, maybe just from their Twitter feed or little conversations that we've had here and there, meeting them at events, but we really don't know the people. So he has different formats that he's put together. Elaine Valentine chose the hardest, I think, which is a letter to your 13-year-old self. I picked one of the easier ones, and I think James and Steven did as well, where we picked 20 questions and we answered those. And Hung actually challenged us to talk more deeply about what some of these answers would be to some of the questions. So when you go to the Brain Food Tribune, you're going to be probably seeing a lot of faces that you already know and maybe some faces that you don't, but you'll be able to get some real in-depth information and just about those people themselves. And I thought it was a genius idea overall. He's going to be adding, I'm sure, every week.
I just want to be on record to say that if you're involved in this, then calling him genius or this thing genius is under suspicion, to say the least.
You're just mad because you haven't been included yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally jealous. Shout out to Pine, who raised $2.2 million this week. They're a corporate messaging solution founded by one of the dudes from Atlassian, who many people know from the Trello app, popularized by this show to have Chad and I communicate with each other. But $2.2 million to take on Slack and Facebook at work. Good luck with that.
Seems like a Yammer. What happened to Yammer? It was bought and then nothing happened with it, right?
Yeah, Microsoft kind of dropped the ball on Yammer, but the people who did it got pretty rich from it. It's still around, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, and nobody uses it. I received James Ellis's book this week. You should be happy about this. Mm-hmm. The Talent Chooses You.
Another one I got left out of.
Yeah, no, you were in this one. You just, it was more toward the back, and I think you and Charney like shared a section or something.
I didn't get a free copy. Let's put it that way. Thanks, James.
It's because he knows, man, you don't read books.
Well, there's got to be an audiobook version, right? Where his annoying voice. Anyway, can you imagine him doing an audiobook? That would be fucking hilarious.
No, he has a podcast for that.
Yeah. The ADD audiobook by James Ellis. Shout out to ZipRecruiter, who's hiring after laying off 30% of their people. They got ads all over the fucking place. Those laid off can't be too happy about it, but hey, hiring again.
Okay. So two things. I think they definitely dropped 40% first and foremost, around 40%. That was a huge cut, number one. Number two, this was something that they should have done a long time ago. They were in part, I believe, using COVID-19 to be able to do what they should have done, right? They should have focused on being able to diversify and not just focus on SMB, just being in the SMB space and not seeing this coming, obviously, but just being in the SMB space, not diversified, really fucked them. And now they're turning, as you can see with this job posting, toward enterprise, which is what they should have done a few years ago.
Agreed. Shout out to Daniel O'Neill. Listeners will remember him as the TikTok guy, who shout out to boomers, said, hey, why aren't more employers on TikTok? Anyway,
Danny boy,
he's left his old gig, and now he is the enterprise sales and agency partner manager at Resume Library. So,
oh, really?
Daniel, shout out, man. Good job.
Good job there, buddy.
Good on you.
Last week, we talked about JobCase and the $30 million and the change of equity and all that other fun stuff that was
so
happening.
So confusing.
Yeah. And Fred actually reached out and said, hey, guys, would you like to talk about it? So we actually talked to Fred Goff, the CEO of JobCase, this week. Amazing dude. And we'll be putting that out next week.
I think his exact words were, hey, donkeys, let's get on the phone and I'll explain this to you. Something like that. Shout out to SMS. They're having a good year so far. It came out from InfoBip Research that messaging grew 8.5% from February to March and another 20% in April. So to all our friends out there doing the SMS text recruiting thing, our friends at Emissary, Rec Text, Text Recruit, Canvas/JobVite, keep on keeping on. People are still using those thumbs.
And that won't stop, kids. Shout out to Lauren Saunders over at Circa in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Els Schaefer, director of TA at FGF Brands in Toronto, Canada. And John Ambrosino, Chief Employment Officer at Employing US in Chicago. They all love the podcast and they connected with me on the socials this week. So appreciate you guys listening and thanks for the connect.
Joe Ambrosino is how I pronounce it.
Ambro.
Shout out to Ambrosino. Shout out to Facebook Reels. Actually, fairly smart strategy here. The Wall Street Journal had a story. Reels is essentially the Facebook TikTok competitor. Facebook has decided that they're just going to back up the Brinks truck and pay TikTok's most influential accounts and get them to come over to Reels and leave TikTok behind. I thought this is something Microsoft should have done 10, 15 years ago when they made their first smartphone. They should have paid off all the successful apps from the iPhone and Android to come over and exclusively develop for Microsoft, whereas they might still have a phone, whereas now they don't. So I like the strategy. I don't know how you feel about it, but hey, if you're going to make a competitor, write some checks and get the content over in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I think most of those people are on TikTok because they hate Facebook. And if Facebook's name's on something, they might not come. But for the cash, who knows? They might.
Money talks, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about money. Circa last week, they had a great fucking week. You remember Circa used to be LJN, Local Job Network, a very old and stale brand. They rebranded as Circa. So they refreshed the brand. That was pretty awesome. We talked about it last week. And then they did do what we said would happen. The acquisition of America's Job Exchange happened earlier this week, and an endorsement from the NFL's first female coach, Katie Sauer. She's an offensive coach for the Niners. Now, this to me is really cool because we're talking about diversity. We're talking about inclusion. And she is the first NFL coach. And to be able to get her as an endorsement with a brand refresh and an acquisition, I mean, they had a good fucking week.
So this was a cameo video, correct?
Yeah.
That I saw. So you pay actors and famous people and semi-famous people to say good things about you, say happy birthday, etc. So Cameo is paid by Circa to say nice things about the new launch, right?
It's kind of like Michael Jordan drinking a Gatorade.
Yeah, kind of. Although you pay $50 for this chick
yeah.
to do your ad. Like yeah. they could have at least got James Vanderbeek or somebody to do a shout out for them. They could have spent a little money and got Troy Aikman to do a shout out. But anyway.
You really don't understand diversity, do you? You really don't get diversity, do you? At all.
I get capitalism, baby.
You
okay,
don't. No,
so,
apparently you don't.
So I will say this, that Cameo seems to be like the marketing device of choice for people now. So I'm starting to see these things pop up all over, and it's probably a good use of a couple hundred dollars to get someone that people know to talk about your product. Just make sure it's someone of color or has a vagina so Chad approves of it.
Okay, so everybody understands, Circa is a diversity network. Joel doesn't know what diversity means because he's balled up in the fetal position, a white man fetal position, and doesn't understand what that actually means. So therefore, guys, let me go ahead and help him out. First NFL female coach, diversity. There you go, kid. So a competitor, though, of Circa came out, and their response to this whole thing was, "EQuest, get ready. We have something coming soon." It was like, that was the worst response.
That was the weakest. That was the weakest flex in history.
Ever.
By EQuest.
Ever.
That was really weak.
What the fuck are you doing out there, EQuest? Oh, hey, we're doing cool stuff, too. We're not going to tell you what it is. And it might not happen.
Yeah, that was a weak ass flex. All right. Last shout out from me goes to Herman Cain. Just came across the news wires this morning. Former GOP candidate for president back in 2012, I believe. Former CEO of Godfather's Pizza.
Yep.
Died of coronavirus complications. So our heart.
No, he died? Holy shit.
Yeah. Announced this morning.
Holy
so Thursday morning is when we
shit.
Record. So Herman Cain, RIP, baby. If you didn't know him or like him, you hopefully liked his pizza because that shit was good.
Well, and that being said, I mean, as my last shout out, but John Lewis, obviously, there's no question he is going to be missed. Big inhale, big exhale. Ooh, not a way to go out of shout outs. Let's go ahead and just ease into events, shall we?
All right.
Events, we have Summer to Evolve happening with our friends at JobVite. August 5th at 2 p.m., I'll be joining Elaine Orler and Peter Clare to talk about how not to make onboarding suck, because onboarding in most cases sucks, guys. It's dehumanizing at times. And so we'll be talking about tech experience and how to be more human in the onboarding process. You can register at summer2evolve.com.
Nice. Automate that shit.
Don't you have one of those coming?
I do. It's after yours. So I have not, they haven't contacted me to coordinate that. Maybe they just forgot about it. And I've been scratched from the sheet, but yes, I am doing one of those. It's something about content marketing for recruiting.
Gotcha.
So that'll be fun.
Okay. Then August 27th, I'll be speaking and moderating a panel at Digital Recruitment Hackers event. About optimizing recruitment for a remote workforce. Imagine that. Connect with me on LinkedIn or follow me on Twitter for more info on how to register.
Very nice. Very nice.
Not too bad. And we dropped the first Featurama podcast with Andy Katz last Sunday. Got great response from Matt. Yeah, Andy actually said, you must have dropped the podcast because people are emailing me and messaging me. It's about Next's talent community product. If you have a talent community, you should definitely be listening to this podcast. And then this Sunday, we're going to drop the Next Featurama. We have three more to go.
I see what you did there. You started with Next and then the next one.
That's right.
Yeah. I like that. News. Modern Hire, our favorite rebrand from 2019. Yeah, you may remember.
Acquires who?
Modern Hire from the acquisition of Montage and Shaker International, not to be confused with Shaker Recruitment Marketing. So this happened late last year, rebranded, went to HR Tech, made a big deal. So they've made an acquisition of what I would call sort of a Vervo competitor. I won't say wannabe because they've been around a lot longer than Vervo, but they acquired a company called Sunroo, I assume I'm saying that correctly, out of Ireland, who does sort of automated video interviews. So they'll pre-screen, do all that good stuff. Interestingly, they've been around since 2009.
Yes.
So I don't even know if they've started doing, you know, automated video or they just sort of pivoted into that at some point. They only raised like $339,000.
Yeah, and that was in 2010.
Yeah. So they've just, I guess, been chugging organically. You and I kind of questioned why would they sell?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just got tired of running the business after 11 years. I don't know. But good on them. I hope they got paid. And Modern Hire gets into the automated video interviewing game, which is sort of interesting.
They were already in that game. The thing is that this is more of an EMEA and APAC expansion, or at least that's what they're saying. If you take a look at that Australia makes up most of their web traffic on SimilarWeb on Sunroo. Mm-hmm. Meaning that's obviously where their customers and candidates are accessing the system. The thing is, I don't see anything Asia in those traffic numbers. The UK is their second most trafficked, and it is in single digits, followed by France, New Zealand, and Ireland. So I'm not feeling their Asia vibes. I'm feeling the Aussie vibes, obviously. But yeah, I think this might be a scenario where it's like optics for more than anything, maybe picking up some portfolio. I mean, they had over 50 employees and I think six or seven different locations Sunroo did. And Modern Hire is like in Cleveland, in Deerfield, Wisconsin.
Beautiful locations, by the way. Beautiful locations. Yeah, they really, really played up the global expansion angle on this one. The only quote from the press release from Brian Stern, president of Modern Hire, was, quote, "The combination with Sunroo was compelling due to our tremendous alignment in culture and values and Sunroo's success in the EMEA and APAC regions. This will increase our in-market presence in major growth geographies and enable us to better anticipate the changing needs of our global buyers." So they really played up the global reach of this acquisition.
Again, Sunroo, why sell now when remote is so big and video interviewing and remote interviewing is so big? I mean, this is when they should really be pressing the pedal to the metal. And then the question back to, you know, Modern Hire, why acquire now? You have what you have in the biggest market in the world. To me, it doesn't make sense. I'm glad they did it. Good for you guys. That's awesome. But to me, it doesn't make sense. You double down, especially right now in the biggest market. You kick the shit out of everybody else here where the money is. And I mean, I would think that Sanrio would want a bigger price right now because there's much more of a need. It just, to me, again, it's just, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is tough. You mentioned Fred Goff in our shout outs. And, you know, Fred talked a lot about how the M&A market is heating up and the number of calls that he's getting, you know, for acquisition and partnering and whatnot is scaling up for sure. Yeah. We are still in a global pandemic. People aren't hiring. Layoffs are still happening. So if you're a smaller company with, you know, a lot of, not a lot of money, the money could have run out. I mean, this could have been a fire sale. I don't know jack about Sanrio.
Me either.
So I can't say, but, but we are in strange times. So it's not crazy to think that, you know, hey, financially, the pandemic, the bad timing, like we need to get out of this. And Modern Hire was a logical buyer.
Well, and I tell you, the funding is Stack Overflowing.
Pretty good, man. I like that. Dude, you're on with the zingers, man.
Ooh,
you're on
damn.
With the zingers. So yeah, what happened to Stack Overflow? They raised a little cash, apparently.
Yeah, $85 million in Series E. $153 million in total funding, which is reported by Crunchbase. Stack Overflow for Teams, which is really what they're pushing now, a knowledge management platform that allows developers to collaborate with one another with other departments or within your department or obviously with other departments. It's really been interesting because they're going to use this money to broaden into new markets. Now, when we spoke with HackerRank's CEO Vivek, they're heavy. HackerRank is heavy in India. I remember Vivek actually saying in our interview that we have plenty of tech talent because we were kind of pushing him, you know, hey, tech talent is short. And he's like, no, it's not. It's not short. Not if we look at this in a global way. In India, we have plenty to be able to fill the gaps that we have here. I'm wondering with Stack Overflow, the kind of broadening, what that actually means. They're not like a HackerRank to an extent. They're more of kind of like a help index type of a system. But I mean, I don't know how that works and if they're really just pressing the Teams module because that's really where they're seeing revenue.
Yeah, I think all that is opportunity. Stack Overflow also has a job board component to it. So, you know, I have to think that part of the money is going to be used to sort of build out geographical footprints in terms of a hiring angle. And you mentioned HackerRank. We talked to Human Predictions founder Elliot. His last name escapes me, but
Garms.
He talked about how, you know, the hiring and engineering and software and everything else, everyone else that got furloughed from that period is all hired back. So when you look at like where is hiring going to still happen and happen sooner rather than later
right.
and only get hotter. I mean, the tech hiring is where all that stuff is. So I got to think this is going to be a multi-pronged approach in terms of where they're going to spend that money, but they'd be stupid not to build out some of the employment features of the site.
Yeah, I think this segment is really missing an opportunity still here in the U.S. I think that corporate America is still going to want local talent, maybe not 100%, but they're still going to want the lion's share of that to be local talent. Those organizations really need to tap into and start manufacturing talent pipelines. I mean, these are the perfect types of organizations who could turn a huge void into a huge opportunity, especially in the diverse segments when companies are looking for diverse developers, any type of tech talent whatsoever. They could be doing that instead of trying to go out there and find the same person over and over and over. So it is interesting. Broadening might be the key, but I really think we need to look a little bit more local for many of these issues.
Agreed. Let's take a break and we'll talk about LinkedIn wanting to compete a little bit with Google.
What?
This summer, JobVite wants you.
You.
And you.
To join hundreds.
Thousands.
Millions. Okay, maybe just thousands.
Of recruiters HR, and talent acquisition professionals.
For a summer you won't soon forget.
It's JobBite Summer to Evolve.
The Summer to Evolve is a 12-week series of free content to help recruiters brush up on their skills.
Learn from industry thought leaders.
And see how technology can help them improve, automate, and evolve their recruiting efforts.
There will be a chance to share tips and ideas with your peers.
And we may even have some surprises for you along the way.
I love surprises.
So visit thesummertoevolve.com to register for the Summer to Evolve sessions that suit your needs.
Pique your interest.
Or float your boat.
Because starting June 16th, it's the summer to evolve the way you attract,
engage,
hire,
onboard,
and retain talent.
JobBite. Recruit with purpose. Hire with confidence.
Go learn something, people. Go learn something. Yeah. Go
float your boat.
Float your boat. Learn something. Summer2evolve.com.
So they've been fairly quiet in this pandemic, but Google's march on employment still continues. And you and I have always been big fans of their search API. We did an interview with Steven Rothberg some months ago about how it's positively impacted his business.
Right.
And we kind of wondered like, well, Google kind of owns the game. And you could certainly have that perception. But I, for one, was sort of happy, pleasantly surprised and sort of happy that Google's going to get a little bit of competition on this side of the house, announced this week by LinkedIn via their corporate blog. They're going to open source DText, which is their deep text learning framework for the NLP or natural language processing tasks. So basically, LinkedIn said it has made its DText or deep text natural language processing technology available in open source. One of DText's features is how it allows AI researchers use multiple NLP models trained on their own specific language data to power different tasks via one system. So in plain speak, the same technology that LinkedIn is using for its sort of job search, its people search, its recommended searches, you can now start looking at an open source and potentially plugging into your apps and sites.
So in using LinkedIn myself, I'm always perplexed on why their search sucks so bad. So they're actually saying that they're going to use this same search that I use all the time and that they're going to open source it. And I'm a whole, so what? It's like, I can get shitty search anywhere. And you can say it's deep learning, but if it's not giving me what I'm actually looking for, if it's not recommending per se, then I don't care. I mean,
okay.
Just from my usage of the platform itself, I think it sucks. So this to me, this is a so what. Now, I do like the competition model. And we also have to remember that the AI and deep learning process doesn't happen overnight. This isn't overnight. Obviously, they've been doing it for a while. So I don't want to give them a pass when they're coming out saying that they're going to make this open source. Because again, I wouldn't want to use that code.
Fair enough. But I do think it has a long way to go. I think open sourcing this stuff, they're going to learn a lot from developers that are building on top of the code. I still think Microsoft is a formidable opponent to anything that Google or Amazon or anyone else is doing. So for me, this is simply a step in the right direction. And I like to see LinkedIn sort of slowly open up things that it's doing, because they've been such a closed system for so long. So we'll see, but to me, it's a positive first step in in the ecosystem.
Well, think of this: we had four tech giants on Capitol Hill this week, right?
Yeah.
Guess who wasn't there? Microsoft. Microsoft was not there.
They were there.
No, they weren't. We had Zuck. We had Cook. We had Pinchar, we had Bezos. Those were the four.
You're right. And what does that tell you?
That's telling me something. They're either incredibly fucking stealthy and nobody's paying attention, or they are starting not to matter as much anymore.
Yeah. They've also fought their antitrust battles a couple decades ago. But that's an interesting point, Chad Sarwash.
One thing that is scary that I hope does not fly under government radar,
yeah,
but it seems like it is density raises $51 million to help count employees in offices. Social distancing is perhaps one of the most prominent guidelines for the CDC and prevention to combat COVID-19. When companies look to reopen their offices and buildings, limiting the number of people in a room is key. This is from Crunchbase News.
Yep.
Density was actually growing 30% quarter over quarter last year, but did more in business in the first 75 days of COVID-19. So my question is, what the fuck were they using this technology for before COVID-19? Because this company's been around since 2014.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know much about the whole counting people business. I mean, I'm sure there's elements of like foot traffic. I mean, because it's used in a variety of industries, right? So casinos use it, schools use it, other businesses use it. So for me, it's probably originally more of just a data point to say, you know, what's the traffic coming into our Walmart, and how much does, like, what's our overall revenue based on how many people come in, and how does that, you know, how does that revenue fluctuate based on, you know, who's coming in and how many people are coming in and leaving the store. So to me, it was more of like a data play. And now it's more of a policing monitoring play to say, hey, we're at capacity, don't come in, or to tell someone in the business, you know, control the crowd here because it's in red.
Whenever I hear any of these types of technologies, I automatically think Will Smith, an enemy of the state.
Yep.
Having access to knowing and identifying where people are at all times. I know this is more of a measurement type of scenario, but I think we should probably dig into this density technology a little bit more. It's just, from my standpoint, it is incredibly weird and off-putting all at the same time.
Don't you find it strange that they counted Pinterest as a client in the news story? Like, I can see, you know, factories and bigger companies, but it seems like Pinterest was an odd one that would use a technology like this.
Yeah. Meatpacking plants and Pinterest.
Yeah. Schools I get. Totally get. I mean, some casinos I get, churches I get, like those all make sense to me. Pinterest is a little bit curious. I'm not sure about that one.
That is odd. What also is odd is Alexa asking questions. And this is a story from CNET. If you use Amazon's Alexa voice assistant with any regularity, you might have recently noticed something new. Mm-hmm. Alexa is beginning to ask questions. These are called hunches.
Yep.
I call it, what the fuck are you doing talking to me, Alexa?
Well, you've seen 2001 A Space Odyssey, right? I mean, Hal has a conversation with you. And to me, this is sort of where they want this to go. They want you to have conversations and not just order, you know, voice assistants around for questions and turn off the lights and whatever else. I mean, I think the end goal is that you wake up and have conversations with your computer. You know, I think one of the things I was talking to my wife about this week was, you know, I would say that our relationship pre-COVID was probably at least 50-50 podcast stuff and then just dude stuff and just people stuff, right?
Yep.
And since the pandemic, I would say that 90%+ of our interactions are podcast stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So I have to think that we're not alone in that, right? Like relationships that you would have had at work now are simply Zoom meetings and you're doing work and then you say goodbye and you go on to something else. Like the human interactions are missing. And so part of the reason why we wanted you guys to come over this weekend at a distance, of course, was to just get some human interaction. So when I think about me as a, you know, a middle-aged guy, you know, craving sort of this interaction, imagine being, you know, a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old that does this become their interaction, their sort of their mentor, their, you know, shoulder to cry on, their whatever information source. Like, it's not hard for me to imagine that the world of the future, like we have this best friend and it's Alexa or it's Siri or it's Google or whatever. I think it's strange to us, But I could totally see the future where you interact with computers on a regular basis and it's not weird.
Well, this is definitely the movie Her.
For sure.
And I just saw a trailer yesterday for a new TV show coming on Fox called Next, where it is the Alexa. It's called something different. It is the Alexa. And this little kid is asking this Alexa-like product questions, and then the Alexa asks questions back, and the dad comes in and says, "Who are you talking to?" Yeah. And she said, "Well, I was talking to Alexa." He's like, "It doesn't ask you questions, right?" And then behind it, there's this data gathering AI system. I mean, it goes further into it, but it just, like, it's this whole conspiracy theory piece where, much like density, what are they doing with that data? And then, much like Alexa, what the fuck are they doing with that? And Amazon is testing out more proactive behaviors for Alexa, having the assistant prompt users on occasion, and the company can track in real time and rate the success in those predictions. Remember, Alexa listens to you all the time.
Yeah. Imagine having a friend that you've had since birth that has stayed with you your entire life, is with you all the time, and knows every little detail about you and the events of your life. If you're a company that sells shit, how crazy good would it be to have that kind of data on somebody?
Yeah.
And to me, that's kind of where, if Amazon and all those guys had their druthers, that's where the world is going. And I think that's where they're hoping things go. I mean,
targetability.
I mean, here at home, I mean, we have a Google Home and we're like, "Hey, Google, lights on." And my 3-year-old replicates that behavior and says, "Hey, Google, lights on." So it's a very intuitive system that kids or anybody, you know, can understand pretty easily.
Ooh, deep breath, exhale.
Our next segment will make you feel better, I think.
Thank God. Thank God.
Make everyone else feel better. Let's take a break.
Stand out in a feed full of boring job ads with a dynamic, enticing video that showcases your company culture, people, and benefits with Job AdX. Instead of hoping that job seekers will stumble upon your employment branding video, Job AdX seamlessly displays it in the job description while they're searching, building a connection, and reducing candidate drop-off. You're spending thousands of dollars on beautiful, informative employment branding videos that just sit on a YouTube channel, begging to be discovered. Why not feature them across our network of over 150 job sites to proactively compel top talent to join your team? Help candidates see themselves in your role by emailing joinus@jobadx.com. That's joinus@jobadx.com. Attract, engage, employ with Job AdX.
Ooh, I'm ready for an impossible Whopper.
I could go for a chicken sandwich right now.
So you remember Ellie Doty
from Chili's
because she sent you food.
She sent me a gift card, which is as good as food, because I spent that thing within 30 minutes after getting it. But yeah, when she was at Chili's, which I love, of course, chips and salsa, still great. We interviewed her. She could feel my affection for the brand, sent me a credit for some shit, and I used it. But she is now at Burger King, which we talked about, I think, last week in our shout outs, which better place to be for a marketer than the number two player in a space as big as fast food. And she's obviously having a good time.
Oh yeah. Now Ellie Doty, the CMO of Burger King, starts this, this new promotion. So with the health crisis and high unemployment rates, many consumers are wondering when things will improve and a new normal will emerge. Well, obviously, Burger King has an answer. Burger King is tapping into this sentiment with a new campaign, including a video that shows customers admitting that they are done with 2020 Amen. And desire to be in happier times like Christmas. Mm-hmm. So the ad also tries to offer hope in reminding viewers that the things will change. This is a Christmas in July thing where it looks like, and I hope they do this at every Burger King, they're going to turn the entire Burger King into like a winter Christmas wonderland. because that makes everybody happy pretty much, right?
Yeah. And by the way, Christmas is at the doorstep of a new year. So in addition to just bringing Christmas joy and holiday joy, I know there are different religions, but clearly Christmas time for most people is a time of joy because I'm Mr. Diversity, Chad. It's a time of joy for people, but also the new year, a new start. I know everyone is itching for 2021, although the way that it's going, it might be a lot more of the same. But anyway, from a mental standpoint, it's obviously a positive. If they do replicate this everywhere around the country and the world, I do hope that they bring the snow machine, because that was a special level of Christmas joy for me when I watched the ad. So Ellie Doty, good job, and keep those good vibes coming. We all need it.
It had a Christmas Vacation vibe to it, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. No Cousin Eddie, which would have been a nice touch.
Yeah.
The shitter's full. But shitter's full. It definitely had a Christmas movie, Christmas story. It was good. It was good. And the people they interviewed for the ad, which I assume were not paid actors, were equally joyful in the Christmas lights at Burger King. So
yes.
Kudos.
Yeah. I like the guy who said, I hope they keep this up the rest of the year. I mean, it was like he was yearning for something good.
Hell yeah.
It's like, can we just have this for the rest of the year, please? Yep. Can something go right?
Amen. Amen. So the Brits, they have a unique set of humor, I guess.
Yeah, this didn't go right. That's for sure.
Well, depend on where he got up in the morning. Anyway, so news out of the New York Post. We'll end on this, thank God. In London, Tim Sheaf, a 32-year-old former Ninja Warrior UK, decided to fashion a G-string out of a mask. Although this is very funny, and the pictures were hilarious, he was wearing it mocking a new law in that country that mandated mask wearing in public. So it's good to know that the U.S. aren't the only idiots in terms of when it comes to masks. The Brits, on some scale, are equally stupid.
Yes, we're all human. We all have, in our communities, idiots. And this is just another demonstration that the U.S., even though we are killing it when it comes to stupidity right now,
Nice choice of words.
the Brits have it as well.
We're killing it. Wow.
Yeah.
On that, we out.
This has been the Chad and Cheese Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a single show. And be sure to check out our sponsors because they make it all possible. For more, visit chadcheese.com. Oh yeah, you're welcome.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.